So today indeed is a blessed Sunday and a blessed weekend with Mother's Day, with the celebration of Our Lady of Fatima, and also especially throughout our Rockford Diocese. We were very blessed yesterday to have two new men become ordained to the priesthood, which was an incredible ceremony. And so our two new men, and one name is Father Colin Easton, and the other one is Father Robert Ganella. So Father Ganella, right here, St. Patrick's is his home parish, and he spent his last summer here as a deacon, and of course he will be assigned here as a priest starting June 1st. And so we are very blessed to have one of the new priests here at St. Patrick's. And yesterday, if you've never been to an ordination, I just very briefly want to tell you a little bit about it, because it is an incredible ceremony where incredible things happen. Because in our church, in the sacraments, at Mass, in the confessional, baptism, ordination, we never claim that we are acting or performing. None of this is a show. Rather, we believe that the invisible God becomes visible in the sacraments. We believe the invisible God becomes visible. And we believe when you go to confession, your sins are not metaphorically removed. It's not just therapeutic. We're not psychologists. No, your sins actually are destroyed by the power of the cross, and you walk out a free man or woman. At baptism, we do not claim, oh, original sin, now the beautiful baby is a little more beautiful. No, that original sin from thousands and thousands of years ago is actually removed from that child's body. When we go to Mass, we do not play act and say we're just reenacting or reinstating this Last Supper, but rather bread and wine truly become the living God on this altar. And so too, we believe that at the moment of an ordination, a man truly changes. And now he has a power to forgive sins, to administer the sacraments, and turn bread and wine into God. And so the question is then, what happens at that 1 hour and a half in the cathedral? That prior to the ordination, that man can forgive sins. Prior to the ordination, he can't perform Mass, but afterwards he can. Well, the bishop begins the procession, he walks in. All of the priests are there, all 100 plus priests of the diocese, about 40 deacons, the cathedral is full. The men come forward. During the litany of the saints, they lay down on the marble of the cathedral floor, truly saying that they lay down their lives for the people of God, recognizing that at that moment that they lay down on the marble floor, they are dying in that moment. They are dying in that moment. They go over to the bishop and he lays hands upon them and ordains them. And as once the bishop lays the hands, that he receives this power. And how does that happen? 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked on the earth. He spoke. He walked on water, was crucified, died, and rose from the dead. Once he rose from the dead, he appeared to the 11 apostles. And it says he breathed on them, which is important because God only breathes twice on people in the entire Bible. In Genesis, when he breathes life into man, and then at this moment, after his resurrection, he breathes on them and says, whatever sins you forgive are forgiven. Whatever sins you do not forgive are not forgiven. Go baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So the very breath of God is put into these 11 men to become Jesus Christ and to heal the world. So these apostles have this power. And then what happens once they're gone? Well, we have someone like St. Paul. We call St. Paul an apostle. But St. Paul was not walking around with Jesus. In fact, once Jesus died, St. Paul was killing Christians. St. Paul is the reason for our first martyr, St. Stephen. So St. Paul said, you guys are bad Jews. You are following some false prophet. We need to kill you. This is not good. So St. Paul is killing Christians. He eventually has a conversion. He goes to the apostles and says, I have been changed. I want to be one of you. So the apostles lay hands upon him, giving him that breath of God. And then after that, St. Paul says he laid hands on Timothy and Titus. And this laying on of hands continued from the first century, the second century, 4th, 7th, 9th, 11th, 13th, 15th, 17th, and now to the 21st century. That bishop, every bishop in the world, is a direct successor, connected directly back in an unbroken line to those first 11 men who received the breath of God, and that breath of God has been passed on for 2,000 years. So yesterday at the cathedral, that bishop laid hands on Robert Gunnella and Colin Easton and gave the breath of God that Jesus gave in the upper room 2,000 years ago. They died and became Christ. And we believe at that moment they receive an indelible mark. And that something changes. And as tradition, after the Mass, the first blessing they give is to the bishop. And then the bishop kisses their hands. And then right after the ordination, people will line up and receive blessings and they'll kiss the new priest's hands. And the question is why? Because that man's hands are now the hands of Christ, absolving sins and bringing the Eucharist. And we boldly proclaim that in the sacraments, that man sits in persona Christi, which means in the person of Christ. So when he says, I absolve you of your sins, it is not him speaking, but it is Jesus Christ, literally. When he says, this is my body, it is not him speaking, but it is literally Jesus Christ. We are at the Last Supper. He sits in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. In the same sense, the moment of each one of your baptisms, you too received an indelible mark to become like Christ. And all of you sit as an altar Christus, another Christ. The moment of your baptism, you receive an indelible mark, something that can never be removed, that you are now Jesus Christ. We are not soldiers for Christ, we are Christ. So then we are called to live like him. And so recognize your deep call as an altar Christus and another Christ to live, to be like Christ, to pick up your cross and die, and that saints are not just priests and nuns. Saints are not just people who perform miraculous works, but rather two saints are the people who sit in the pews, mothers, fathers, daughters, sisters. So I want to share with you one brief story about a woman named Chiara. And Chiara is not a saint yet. She's not a blessed. She's just a woman who died. Her name is Chiara Corbella. And she died just in 2012, not that long ago. And Chiara Corbella was an Italian woman. At the age of 24 in 2008, she got married to a man named Enrico. And Enrico and Chiara met in Medjugorje, which is a place where the people go and venerate the Blessed Mother. And they had a very holy relationship, married in 2008, and they conceived their first child. And while the child was still being formed in her mother's womb and Chiara's womb, they discovered the child had a disease and would not live much past childbirth. Enrico and Chiara decided to continue the pregnancy, and the child only lived less than a half an hour after birth. They baptized the baby. They died. They did a burial. Chiara and Enrico conceived a second child. During the ultrasounds, they discovered that the child would be born with no legs and also would have a very rare disease. And again, they said, what God has given us, we will praise him for. So they brought the baby to full term. They conceived the child. And again, this second child only lived for less than 30 minutes. They baptized the baby. The baby died. They had a funeral. And you would think at this point, Chiara and Enrico would be destroyed by the world. They would be bitter, would be sad. And yes, they were sad, but they said, what we recognized was our desire for heaven and our desire for God only deepened because we wanted to do everything we could to one day see again our beautiful children at the gates of heaven. And so they conceived a third time. And they found out that during the conception and during, again, this child growing in her mother's womb, Kiara was diagnosed with a very rare cancer. And the doctor said, if you do not receive chemotherapy, you will die less than a year after this child's birth. They said, if you do the chemotherapy, it of course can be very dangerous to the child, and the child might die. But at least your life will be saved. You're a young 27-year-old woman. And Kiara and Enrico said, no, we do not want the treatment. We want to have our baby live. We want our child to come into this world. What God has given us, we will accept with joy. So they brought the baby to full term. He was born Francesco, named after St. Francis of Assisi. And Kiara continued to progress in her cancer and get worse. And she died June 13th, 2012, less than a year after Francesco's birth. And right before she died, both Kiara and Enrico spoke to thousands of people about their suffering. You can watch the video on YouTube. It's incredible that we are now in an age where we can see the saints actually speak to us. And they said in front of a large crowd, as Kiara is approaching death, Enrico, his beloved bride, soon to die, they said, where is it written that death is such a tragedy? Where is it written that bringing two beautiful children into the world, them only living 30 minutes, but being baptized and us returning them to God? They said, where is it written that that is a sadness? They said, for that is a joy, for what God has given us. We rejoice in that life and give him and her back to God. Enrico then remarked, as his own wife is approaching death, he said, if my bride is going somewhere where she will be loved by somebody who loves her even more than I do, why should I be upset? If she's going to be with someone who loves her more than I do, why should I be upset? And then the day of her death, at 8 a.m, Enrico said he had been meditating for months and for the last year over the one passage in Scripture that says that the cross of the Lord is sweet. And he said that last day before she died, she could no longer see in one eye. She could barely speak. She was very weak. And he said he was so distraught. And he had so many different emotions of bitterness and anger and all these just roller coaster. And he couldn't get that passage out of his brain that the cross of the Lord is sweet. And he said, at 8 a.m, I went to Kiara. And I bent down over her and I said, Kiara, my love, is it true? Is the cross really as sweet as Jesus says it is? And he said, she looked at him, and in a very soft voice, she said, yes, Enrico, it is very sweet. The cross is very sweet. He said she died 3 hours later. She died 3 hours later. And that is an Alter Christus. That is another Christ. Just a few years ago, a miraculous woman, simply a mother, a miraculous father, lived a deep call to live like Christ. And the reason they could do that, because the reason she could see the sweetness in the cross, is because she recognized that Christ calls us to pick up our crosses not to reject them. And too often in our world, we turn the media on, we turn the TV on, we hear from our coworkers, from everyone in our families, we hear that if you've got suffering rejected, eliminate that from your life. Get that out of here. We think, oh, I'm suffering, God isn't angry at me, or God is somehow mad at my past, and I did all these bad things in my childhood, and I did these bad things in college, and I did these bad things in my marriage, and so now God is punishing me with this sickness. God is punishing me with my children being sick, or God is punishing me with my depression, or losing my job. No, at times, in order to receive God's love, we have to pick up our cross and recognize that in order to receive the divine kiss of Christ, we need to climb up on that cross and receive it. Sometimes He can't come down. He's up there waiting for us to receive that kiss. So the way we become another Christ, the way we are truly joyful men and women, is by not rejecting them, but picking them off up and saying, what God has given me, I will give back to Him with joy. And here's the last thing. When Kiara found out that she had cancer and that she would die much after her son's birth, she said a prayer. She said, Lord, I will say yes to this cross as long as You allow me to do it with people who don't have gloomy faces. She said, I desire to be joyful in my cross. And lastly, I just want to read a brief paragraph from a letter she wrote to her son on his first birthday because she could not be there. She said, Francesco, for what little I have learned during these 28 years of my life, I can tell you only that love is the center of our lives. Because we are born from an act of love. We live for love and to be loved. And we die to know the true love of God. The goal of our life is to love and to be loved. Always ready to learn how to love the others as only God can teach you. Love consumes you. But it is beautiful to die consumed by that love. Exactly like a candle that goes out only when it has reached its goal. Anything you do in life will make sense only if you look at it in the view of eternal life and love. And so we must, as the people of God, as an altar Christus, not be afraid to pick up our cross and walk with Christ, living and dying like Him and with Him. And when we live and die and suffer like Him, so too are we consumed by love. And then we do not die from a sickness. We do not die from depression. We do not die from turmoil. Rather, we didn't die by the sweetness of the cross. We die from being consumed by love. And eventually our mortal bodies can no longer be contained by the love we are receiving. And we must die and enter and receive a resurrected body to be loved all the more. And so let's make that our call today. Let me pick up my cross and suffer like You, Christ. And so the question is, will you too be an altar Christus?